Here's a little history pop quiz in honor of Independence Day this week. What 800-year-old document has been called the birth certificate of democracy? The 1215 Magna Carta. And now one of the few surviving copies is in Boston for a special exhibition at the Museum of Fine Arts. WBUR's Andrea Shea has our story on this very old document that's still very much alive today.
It's one thing to learn about the Magna Carta in school, and quite another to stand just inches from the nearly 800-year-old piece of faded sheepskin vellum that's covered in medieval Latin words.
What you need to look at is the exquisite handwriting of these court scribes, beautiful in their tiny script.
That's the very Reverend Philip Buckler. He's Dean of Lincoln Cathedral in England, which loaned the precious document to the MFA. The very Reverend explains how it traveled here secretly, incognito, and tightly guarded. Now it rests in a temperature, light, and humidity-controlled glass case.
But the best method of conservation we've discovered in Lincoln Cathedral is to put it in a drawer, forget about it for 600 years, and when you bring it out, you'll find it's fine, because that's what happened to this Magna Carta.
Only 4 out of the 40 original copies of the Magna Carta have survived the ravages of time. Its name comes from the Latin for Great Charter. In 1215, British feudal barons were fed up with King John's military failures and rampant taxation. They met with him in Runnymede on the bank of the River Thames, where they gave him an ultimatum to sign the Magna Carta or be ousted.
Within it, there are all sorts of regulations and rules about liberty, justice, freedom of religion, the common things that you need to have in any civilized society. But the most important thing was saying that the king was not above the law.
It's in our DNA.
Massachusetts State Representative Corey Atkins was instrumental in working with the MFA and Lincoln Cathedral to negotiate the Magna Carta's trip to Boston.
Here is a document that is included in the Charter to the Colony of Massachusetts, the Mayflower Compact, John Adams' Constitution for the state, therefore a Constitution of the United States.
Atkins adds the Magna Carta guides her work as a lawmaker.
Every kind of discussion of power goes back to the fundamentals in the Magna Carta.
On the verge of its 800th birthday, that's pretty amazing to still have that effect on people.
MFA senior curator Gerald Ward says standing in the Magna Carta's presence gives him chills.
I'm about as giddy as I get, yes.
In designing the rest of the exhibition, Ward wanted to provide historical context while highlighting just how deeply the Magna Carta permeates American history. There are about 20 other objects in the gallery. The curator borrowed handwritten drafts of the Declaration of Independence, penned by Thomas Jefferson and John Adams, from the Massachusetts Historical Society. The words Magna Carta are engraved on the MFA's Liberty Bowl, made by Paul Revere.
And on its long inscription on the other side, it talks about the colonists being undaunted by the insolent menaces of villains in power. They were referring at that time in 1768 to George III, but it could have been King John.
There's a John Singleton Copley portrait of Sam Adams, who said the Massachusetts Charter was as sacred to Bostonians as the Magna Carta was to Englishmen. Also, a painting of lawyer Theodore Sedgwick, who helped an enslaved woman named Elizabeth Freeman sue for her freedom after she read the Bill of Rights. In a speech about equality, President John F. Kennedy called for an urban Magna Carta. The ancient document's guardian, the very Reverend Philip Buckler, says it's especially relevant this week.
Now, it might seem a little dangerous for an English person to be here on the 4th of July, but I'll take my chances.
Here in New England, the very Reverend hopes the Magna Carta will remind people that the 13th century barons in the UK rebelled against a tax-happy, unjust king, just like the colonists did in Boston. For 90.9 WBUR, I'm Andrea Shea.
He taxed their property, he didn't give them any choice. And back in England, he didn't give them any voice. That's called taxation without representation, and it's not fair. But when the colonies complained, the king said, I don't care. He even has the nerve to tax our cup of tea. To put it kindly, king, we really don't agree. Gonna show dump this tea and turn this harbor into the biggest cup of tea in history. They wanted no more mothering England. They knew the time had come for them to take command. It's very clear you're being unfair, King. No matter what you say, we won't obey. Gonna hold a revolution now, King, and we're gonna run it all away with no more king.
We're gonna elect a president.
No more king.
He's gonna do what the people want.
No more king.
We're gonna run things our way.
No more king.
Nobody's gonna tell us what to do.
Rocking and a rolling, swishing and a splashing over the horizon. What can it be? Looks like it's going to be a free country.